image of Tangier Franz.
I'm your host, Aaron Franz, coming at you live this Friday night, August 19th, 2022. Live every Friday night from the facilities of Ocelli.com. 10 p.m. to midnight, Eastern Standard Time. The first hour is the Age of Transitions. The second hour is Uncle the Broadcast. Thank you for listening live or the podcast. You can get the podcast at theageoftransitions.com, where you can also support the show. Lots of ways to support. There's the Patreon campaign, where if you subscribe for $3 or more per month, you get access to the bonus podcasts and other bonus material like videos that I post there. So thank you, Patreon members. Really appreciate all your help. And then also I have my book, Revolve: Man's Scientific Rise to Godhood. It's available in both paperback and ebook forms. Again, check theageoftransitions.com. Got links to that for you. And have t-shirts for the shows. We have the Age of Transitions t-shirt. We also have an Uncle the Podcast t-shirt. And we have an Ocelli Effect t-shirt. If you buy the Ocelli Effect shirt, the money will go to Chuck and the Ocelli Radio Network, which I also encourage you to do, to support the Ocelli Radio Network. Also have affiliate links on my website. So click through the link to bookshop.org if you're ever buying any books. First go to theageoftransitions.com, click through the little link to bookshop.org on the side, and find most any book you're looking for is on there. A lot of books are there. So check that out, and when you buy them, you'll be supporting the show here too. And also, if you're thinking about starting your own podcast, consider using Libsyn as your podcast hosting service. Makes life easy. Makes it very easy to post to all the podcatchers and things like that. It's well worth it. You pay a subscription, monthly subscription, but you'll get 2 months for free if you use promo code Franz. You can also click through the links to the Libsyn discount on theageoftransitions.com as well. So thank you for showing up and for listening, either live or in podcast form. Thank you very much. If you are here live, you can call in. I always recommend or encourage you to do so. The number is 319-527-5016, or you can come on the show through Skype too. Send Chuck, producer Chuck, a message on Skype. Type him a message. He'll bring you on. He's charles.ocelli on Skype. So either message charles.ocelli on Skype or call 319-527-5016. Thank you for showing up here, and I'm glad to be here as always. Lots of interesting things happening. Good stuff. I got good things going on behind the scenes. So, stay tuned, and I continue to post lots of cool old stuff that I found to the Patreon campaign. Having fun doing that, actually. That's a lot of fun. I have lots of ideas that I'd like to do for live streaming, but I need to make the time to do those things. So, I don't know. Just make sure you check out the Uncle YouTube and Twitch, and even the Twitter accounts. You'll see different live streams happen as I'm able to do them. If you're interested in different live streams that happen, so check those out. So things are overall good. And, I'm just keep reading different articles on, emerging technologies. And actually I've been reading more news articles than really ever before, because that's the way it just ends up being convenient for me to do it these days. So I'm reading more than I ever really have, honestly. But, the stories that really catch my eye are more than most, are the technology ones, because, that feeds into the Age of Transitions, story that I like to tell. One interesting aspect of, emerging technology is the concept of quantum computing. It's been around for a little while now. They have been actually making quantum computers for about a decade or so, I think. They actually have these things, but they're still in, basically the testing phase. They're trying to get these things to work more or less. I also think it's just not – we're nowhere near a point where they can go into production with any of these things. So all sorts of interesting stories will pop up about different tests that they've run on these crazy things. And just generally, quantum computing is pretty crazy, and there's lots of interesting angles to it. Because it ties into, you know, like quantum theory, quantum physics, quantum mechanics, things like that. And I mean, that's the way that the actual computers work. And they tie into all those interesting theories, which the whole quantum physics and quantum theory is fascinating because it brings science back around to I don't want to say philosophy exactly, but there's aspects to quantum theory that kind of like verge on the mystical, and they get into to me I see parallels between like mysticism and different ideas in quantum theory, which is pretty fascinating. So definitely like some esoteric things can be pulled out of just looking at these quantum computer, just the idea of a quantum computer, first of all. And it seems like if not quantum computers, then some sort of new form of computer is going to come forward soon enough, and kind of will have to if they want to make AI work. And be able to do, I mean, if you even want AGI to work, you need something like this. I mean, AGI just, I often say, I don't know if they even,
Okay, something odd has happened, and, I don't know if Aaron can hear me. What's going on here? Let's see, where did he go? Huh. Appears as though we've lost connection with Aaron. Guess we'll go to the break now.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough. Maybe you're thinking about getting started. WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell you listeners, I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around, I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
But I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really, really pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.
Chili.com.
Of transitions.
Okay, hello, I'm Aaron Franz. I am back. Not exactly sure what just happened. My computer did something. What it was, I don't know. I talk quite a bit about computers on the show, but it doesn't mean that I know really that much about them. And I kind of wanted to make that point tonight on the show, is that the technical and the super technical aspect of IT, to be sure, but I mean just emerging technologies generally, that's not really my forte. Like the super like detailed the science, the tech, like that's not really what I know best. But I'm more interested in the philosophy, the application, things like that, and the social ramifications of all of this. But anyway, I don't think that precludes me from talking about these things. So here I am doing it. And I was last, as I remember, talking about quantum computers. So I am in trouble now if I, if I'm going to try to at all explain the technical side of this, which I'm going to. I know I'm going to get myself in trouble, but we'll see what we can do here. And there is this fascinating article here that I think I might read a bit from. Let's see here. It's from livescience.com. This one blew my mind, and it does, I was mentioning before that the whole quantum theory, quantum physics, and quantum computing kind of circles back around to mysticism, to my mind. There's like mystic qualities to all of that stuff. So it brings science back into this sort of almost metaphysical realm, which I find fascinating. But anyway, or you could also explain it as the metaphysical, what we used to take certain things as metaphysical, just being brought down to being explained in actual physical scientific terms, which is like, yeah, those ideas that people thought were crazy and called metaphysical, well, actually, yeah, they're real, but here's the, you know, the nuts and bolts behind it as far as that can be ascertained. Because the whole quantum theory thing, to my understanding, the crux of it really seems to be that, like, when you try to, like, pin something down, it sort of like immediately goes away. And a lot of it has to do with like the observer itself, like the actual observation of the physical world is completely contingent on the observer. There's a lot of that going on, which again, fascinating, very fascinating, ties back to mysticism to be sure. But anyway, let's read this article from livescience.com by Ben Turner. Title, Scientists Blast Atoms with Fibonacci Laser to Make an Extra Dimension of Time. The technique could be used to protect quantum computer data from errors. okay, we'll read a bit from this here. By firing a Fibonacci laser pulse at atoms inside a quantum computer, physicists have created a completely new strange phase of matter that behaves as if it has two dimensions of time. The new phase of matter, created by using lasers to rhythmically jiggle a strand of 10 ytterbium, I don't know if I'm saying that right, Y-T-T-E-R-B-I-U-M, ytterbium ions, I think that's a measurement term, enables scientists to store information in a far more error-protected way, thereby opening the path to quantum computers that can hold on to data for a long time without becoming garbled. The researchers outlined their findings in a paper. The inclusion of a theoretical extra time dimension is a completely different way of thinking about phases of matter. Lead author Philip Dmitrishu, a researcher at the Flatiron Institute Center for Computational Quantum Physics in New York City, said in a statement, I've been working on these theory ideas for over 5 years, and seeing them come actually to be realized in experiments is exciting. The physicists did not set out to create a phase with a theoretical extra time dimension, nor were they looking for a method to enable better quantum data storage. Instead, they were interested in creating a new phase of matter, a new form in which matter can exist beyond the standard solid, liquid, gas, plasma. They set about building the new phase in the quantum computer company Quantinuum. Oh, God. H1 Quantum Processor. That's a company name. Quantinuum, I think. Yeah. Yeah, it's Quantinuum. Which consists of 10 ytterbium ions in a vacuum chamber that are precisely controlled by lasers in a device known as an ion trap. Ordinary computers use bits, or zeros and ones, to form the basis of all calculations. Quantum computers are designed to use qubits, which can also exist in a state of zero or one. But that's just about where the similarities end. Okay, I'm going to do an aside here again, just to mention that qubit, to my understanding, is a unit of measurement from the ancient world as well. It was an old term of measurement back like in Egypt, and ancient Egypt, I think they might have used qubits, but... So I find that fascinating, like tying back to the old lost ancient civilization, which also ties back to like mysticism and esoteric concepts. And now they're using this, how quantum computers, process data, and, what their data is called a qubit. I don't know. That's interesting too. Anyway. Okay, quantum computers are designed to use qubits, which can also exist in a state of zero or one, but that's just about where the similarities end. Thanks to the bizarre laws of the quantum world, qubits can exist in a combination or superposition of both the zero and one states until the moment they are measured, upon which they randomly collapse into either a zero or a one. The strange behavior is the key to the power of quantum computing, as it allows qubits to link together through quantum entanglement, a process that Albert Einstein dubbed spooky action at a distance. Entanglement couples two or more qubits to each other, connecting their properties so any change in one particle will cause a change in the other, even if they are separated by vast distances. This gives quantum computers the ability to perform multiple calculations simultaneously, exponentially boosting their processing power over that of classical devices. But the development of quantum computers is held back by a big flaw. Qubits don't just interact and get entangled with each other because they cannot be perfectly isolated from the environment outside the quantum computer. They also interact with the outside environment, thus causing them to lose their quantum properties and the information they carry in a process called decoherence. So this gets interesting. So it's talking about quantum computers are using these qubits. They have to tightly control these things. They're subject to quantum entanglement. And that's the exact reason why you can't really contain them. Their whole problem in this experiment was containing their quantum computer and the qubits from getting tangled up with everything surrounding them. Which again is very fascinating, and it kind of ties into the concept of quantum theory of, you know, like this interconnectedness. It's the kind of the idea that everything is connected, and that idea that like two things can become entangled, and then distance is not even, it doesn't matter where they are in space. Once entangled, they are entangled, and you can put them anywhere and that remains the same. So it's pretty crazy, all this. see here. To get around these pesky decoherence effects and create a new stable phase, the physicists look to a special set of phases called topological phases. Quantum entanglement doesn't just enable quantum devices to encode information across the singular static positions of qubits, but also to weave them into the dynamic motions and interactions of the entire material, in the very shape or topology of the material's entangled states. This creates a topological qubit that encodes information in the shape formed by multiple parts rather than one part alone, making the phase much less likely to lose its information. Let me see. I'm trying to figure out how much I want to read of this. I might just keep going through this. This is pretty interesting. See here. Did I hear you there, Chuck? Did I just hear something? Am I crazy?
Oh, sorry. No. I had my mic up. I didn't mean to.
Okay. I'm just, I thought. Oops. Okay, cool. I'll keep reading this thing here. Okay.
You're gonna have a caller via Skype in a minute. That's all. I was trying to do that and I didn't realize I'd mic
open. Okay, cool. Well, we'll bring them on a minute. Before we do, I'm gonna try to see if I can kind of like, abbreviate the rest of this article. What they end up doing is they've got this quantum computer working on these ions, right? These electrically charged atoms that are, again, tightly controlled in this little environment. And they're trying to make this like weird magnetic layer that creates an extra dimension of time, right? And they were having problems with the laser because they were firing a laser in a specific pattern that repeated itself, right? And they were trying to control that dimension, that extra dimension of time by firing the laser at specific intervals, but they could only like, hold their control for like less than a second or something. Then when they decided to change the laser, the sequence of the laser or whatever, the pulse pattern of the laser is changed to the sequence that doesn't repeat, but they use a Fibonacci sequence. So, you know, pi, the golden mean, this crazy thing, this never ending, pi, this never ending number that just keeps going. So anyway, let's read this paragraph. This led them to the Fibonacci sequence, in which the next number of the sequence is created by adding the previous two, whereas a simple periodic laser pulse might just alternate between two laser sources. This Fibonacci pulsing created a time symmetry that, just like a quasi-crystal in space, was ordered without ever repeating. That's the key to it. Ordered without repeating. And just like a quasi-crystal, the Fibonacci pulses also squish a higher dimensional pattern onto a lower dimensional surface. In the case of a spatial quasi-crystal such as Penrose tiling, a slice of five-dimensional lattice is projected on two-dimensional surface. When looking at the Fibonacci pulse pattern, we see two theoretical time symmetries get flattened into a single physical one. Caller, are you there? I think you might be.
Hello.
Hey, is this Robin?
This is Robin, yes.
What's up, man? Great to talk to you. Very good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, I'm doing better. I was actually down with an illness, not the COVID this week, but I'm on the mend. So.
Oh, good. Okay, I didn't know about that. So I'm sorry to hear about that. But also, you are getting better.
Yes, I'm on the upswing.
Okay.
I'm on the big pharma antibiotics, which sometimes you got to do it.
Yeah, I hear you. I've been there. We all have to every now and then. So, yeah, good to hear that you are recovering. I will thank you for sending the link to, what was that? Scrappers documentary, which I watched its entirety. That was very good. Thank you for that.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, anyone out there, it's on YouTube, I believe, is that where we watched it. But it was about, some guys who pick up the scrap aluminum and other such from these bombing ranges in the chocolate mountains of California. Yes.
Mm-hmm. The low desert. Yeah.
Yeah, pretty wild lifestyle that those folks are living.
Yeah, that's saying the least of it. Yeah, it's pretty crazy. That was an excellent documentary that I definitely recommend. Again, on YouTube, Scrappers, go watch it. Worth a watch.
Yeah. And, you know, with this quantum computing stuff, I honestly don't have a whole lot to add because it's all very, very woo-woo to me.
Yeah, yeah, me too. I'm trying my best here, honestly, but it's tough. Like,
might be good to reach out to someone who has that more in-depth knowledge for an interview. That could be an interesting.
Yes, answer. Yes, that would be a good interview. Yes,
break it down to the layman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if anybody has a good recommendation on that end, I will reach out to them. You can reach out to them too and suggest they come on the show. I've been trying to get a hold of a few people to do interviews and different levels of success there. But yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah, the only thing that jumped out at me so far from what you're speaking that made any sense was them using the Fibonacci sequence for their pulses or whatever the heck they were saying there.
The laser pulse, yeah.
Which,
in a Fibonacci sequence.
That's pretty fascinating because that, as many people may know and some may not know, there's the Fibonacci sequence, as it gets higher up in the sequence, creates the golden ratio.
Mm-hmm.
When you divide the higher number from the lower or vice versa. And that golden ratio is, you know, abundant in our world in so many ways in our human body and all sorts of other plant world. So it makes sense that the quantum world would have a relationship with that. And, you know, that's about as far as I have thought through that part, but.
Yeah, absolutely. It seems to be some sort of naturally occurring pattern.
Well, the way I understand it is it's basically break it down to balanced growth.
Mm-hmm.
So like a ram's horn, it always keeps growing, but the ram never has to recombobulate its balance and stuff because the horn always grows in that spiral that.
Yeah.
Keeps it in balance. So it's a way that things grow while staying balanced without having to readjust.
Yeah. It's wild that same pattern shows up naturally in so many different things. You know, the Nautilus shell famously, like the petals of a rose, all sorts of different things like that. They, as they unfold and they grow, as you're saying, they do it in the spiral shape.
Yeah.
Kind of like comes out from the center and is always moving outward in the same exact pattern. And so it's just, again, to think about it philosophically is pretty fascinating. But to see it
as above, so below stuff, I guess, comes from too, right? It's
Oh, yeah. And
it
definitely.
You see it up in the galaxies, and then you see it in the succulents. And,
yes, you do. Yeah, it's in those too. Yep. Mm-hmm. It's crazy that it just, again, it brings it back to the mystical for me, to be sure. And it's pretty fascinating to see that science is making its way sort of back. I don't know if back is the right term or is finally making its way to there in the first. It just depends on how you're looking at it. I would probably use the word back to. Yeah. It's kind of circling back to, I would say, the mystic sort of starting point that got people even interested in it to begin with. This is like the asking of the questions of like, well, we see these patterns. What do they mean? Do they mean anything? Let's set about doing these different experiments to try to figure it out, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it goes way, way back to the Egypt and beyond, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
From my understanding, I'm not sure, I haven't verified this, but there's these documentaries called something like Mysteries of Ancient Egypt. I can't remember the exact. It was one of these Rogan. I got the reference from Rogan, or he had this guy on who made these documentaries. I think he's passed away now, the guy who made them. But he talks about a few of these buildings in Egypt being built based on the Fibonacci sequence, like you know, the first room in the middle, and then it kind of spirals out. And I can't reference any specific buildings off my head, but
sure.
But yeah, they have obviously known these things for many, 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 many years.
Yeah, they're purposely designing.
And now that we're being able to see down in the quantum level and experiment at that level, you know, they're using the same kind of principles to dig deeper. And I don't know, the guy on that documentary said that he thought that they built that building as almost like a Rosetta Stone type thing, like a, you know, people would see it and then they would, at some point, if the knowledge was lost, they could at some point recognize that, oh, this pattern is in this building and maybe I should look into that pattern more.
Mm-hmm.
So, sure.
Yeah. Got it.
So, yeah. If you have any more quantum stuff, you want to talk about it, I'm happy to get into that. But I was also wondering, and maybe we could do this next week or something, but talk about this, AI artwork. Have you been?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm happy to talk about that. You were the first person that I saw. It was on Twitter. You're reposting different AI artworks. And at first, I didn't even know what it was. I'm like, what the heck is this weird stuff? And then I realized it was AI generated art. I was like, oh, okay. But yeah, what about it? What do you have to say about all of that?
Well, I follow a few accounts that, that people will write in phrases and then they put it into these different AI systems that are out there. The ones I know two of now, DALL-E is one, or maybe DALL-E 2. And then, there's one called Stable Fusion, which seems to be the more advanced one from what I've seen. And yeah, it's a real game changer, I'd have to say, in the world of artwork, because it's makes it so easy to produce some very detailed piece of artwork that looks like it was produced by, you know, by a person, depending on the subject matter and if it's,
yeah, it's
the abstract or realistic or what. But some of these ones are very, very cool. Some of them are, you know, obviously look like crap, and a lot of the people post the ones that only come out looking cool. Honestly, you know, they discard the ones. I've put my name on a few wait lists to attempt to get access to them, because they're only beta access, most of them.
Well, you put prompts into that. What's that one? The AI.
AI Curio or something like that.
Yeah, Curio Bot. Yeah, AI Curio or Curio Bot or whatever. You put prompts into that, haven't you?
Yeah. I put a couple uncle related ones in there and, I can't remember which ones exactly, some of Uncle's phrases, you know.
Yeah, it's interesting because it works. It's text to image is what it is. That's the way it works. You put a text command in, essentially, is what you're doing. And then it converts your text into an AI-generated piece of imagery.
I've kind of stopped following some of those accounts because they were posting so many things, but I'll go on their pages every once in a while now and check them out. And, you know, someone who you could reach out to talk about this too, who's got a bit more insight and is actually, I believe, got access to one of them, is Robbie Martin.
Yes. Yeah. He's always posting weird AI generated stuff. Did he like buy some software or something? What'd he do? He's posting all sorts of stuff.
I think he just got access through the beta. You just sign up and then.
Okay.
Maybe since he's a, you know, podcaster type guy or something, I think they kind of have a bit of a, they choose who they want to allow on and stuff.
Okay.
At this point, I believe the computing is done on some other computers, maybe. I don't know that it's done on your own computer. So I think you like sign it, you get access.
No. It's done. It's not done on your own computer. It's done on some server somewhere that they're
maybe
using.
Maybe a quantum computer?
Yeah, it should be a quantum computer, I feel like. You get better artwork that way.
Yeah, well, faster and everything, yeah.
Get these old zeros and ones.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. As I've seen like animations now with the Stable Fusion one specifically. Mm-hmm. And some really interesting things. So it's as an artist myself, not like a professional or anything, but it really puts that world into a whole new world, you know. It's like, yeah, they now have this AI bots to contend with.
Yes.
In the art sphere. So it's,
yes. It's not something that you would imagine that a machine would be able to do. One of the first things that they'd be able to displace. And I don't see AI artwork displacing traditional human created artwork anytime soon, but it's just another, you know, art form for sure.
Yeah. Well,
and I think it's interesting what you can do with it, to be sure. But, and it is, it's got that shock value, like, oh, look, they are actually able to do this. I didn't see that coming. There's definitely that aspect of it, like you're saying.
Well, and the speed as to which it's produced as well is like, I don't, you know, I can't speak to exactly how long it takes because I don't have access to these sites myself, but it seems like I've put in prompts to that prompt and gotten them back within, you know, a half an hour or something like that. So it's probably pretty quick to get results from. So it's almost like someone could just feed these phrases over and over and over until, you know, for all day, 8 hours a day, and then pick out the best ones and sell them as NFTs or some crap, right? It's like,
yeah. Somebody probably is selling them as NFTs and we just aren't aware of it. That what's the NFT market like these days, Robin? Do you have any idea? I cannot even follow that nonsense.
No, I honestly haven't seen any talk about it on Twitter. So it seems to have fallen off in the discussion sphere as far as who I follow.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm not on board.
No.
In some respects, I have thought, you know, there's some value in it in terms of like almost like how did I think of it before, was like, say I sold one of my stone carvings.
Mm-hmm.
If I had that as an NFT, and then whenever it was sold, I got a percentage of it. So it was almost like using the NFT as just a contract to gain more revenue or something, but it didn't really, you know, it's not like someone would buy a stone carving and then resell it right away or something. So
it seems like it's also kind of tying into this weird thing that they're trying to do with creating like a market for trading artwork, right?
Yeah.
Where you don't buy the artwork, you buy like stock in artwork. Some sort of weird stock that they make. And then when the artwork goes up in value, you gain value, but just on your shares that you buy into the artwork, which is really bizarre. But that they're doing a lot of this stuff now where they're like, it's a new form of monetizing things, which
it's broad too.
It's weird. It just seems like they're kind of like the quantum computer has an extra layer created like magnetically or whatever, this extra theoretical layer of time or whatever. It's like they're adding an extra layer onto reality.
Mm-hmm.
But the whole point is just to monetize everything, right? So artwork,
yeah,
like how can
we... with Web3 and the metaverse and all this weird stuff that they're pushing on us, right?
Oh yeah, the metaverse is coming too. Yeah, and big companies are buying into that now.
Yeah. I've got a guy I know who bought a property right by Snoop Dogg's place.
Oh, he's Snoop Dogg's neighbor, is he?
In the, you know, Decentraland, I think is the one he talked about. But I was like, had to do a little eye roll on that one. I was like, okay, well.
Decentraland.
Hope he didn't freaking, you know, take out an extra mortgage for that one. But, you know, maybe he'll be right and it'll blow up and he'll be hanging with Snoop in the metaverse or something.
You never know. And the key with that kind of junk is if you're smart, you will buy that weird stuff. You'll buy it early and then you'll sell it at just the right moment before nobody cares about it anymore. and then it's worth nothing. That's what smart people are actually doing with all that stuff. I think it's dumb to just hold it. But if you're buying and selling in a smart way, then power to you, I guess.
That's a pyramid scheme, get out the right time type of thing.
But we have another caller, so hang on there, Robin. Stay with us here, and we'll talk to somebody else here at the same time. So let's see who we got. Caller, you're on the Age of Transitions. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Jimmy James, calling from Michigan.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy? Good to talk to you.
This NFT stuff's confusing. I noticed an option for that on my phone. Like you could beam it to people or something.
Beam me up, Scotty. Fibonacci style.
They were trying to sell that option for.
No, on my phone, one of the settings says NFT. Buttons at top.
Maybe it's like an NFT wallet or something. Like that's where you store them. I don't know.
Maybe it turns your phone into an NFT, and then you can sell your phone to somebody, but you don't have to worry about giving them the actual phone. They just have the NFT of the phone, whatever that means. I don't even know what that means, but it must mean something.
No, it's definitely confusing there, Jimmy. I'm in a similar confused state about the whole thing. But, you know, I've followed that guy Beeple. You know, are you guys aware of him?
Yeah, who is that? Explain who that. I know the name, but I can't remember who it is. Is it an artist or something?
Yeah, he's a digital artist that he started doing this thing he called One A Days, where I think for 10 years he made a new digital art piece using some 3D software he's super good at, and he would put one out, you know, just on his page every day. And and then at some point he got hooked up with, you know, these early NFT producer theorizer types, and he sold, I'm not sure if it's some of the first NFTs, but he sold some of his stuff for in the 60 to 80 million some odd dollars.
Oh wow. Oh, is he the guy that
really sparked off the whole thing?
Does he design those weird like monkey images with the monkey wearing a leather jacket?
Yeah, like Trump with big boobs and, you know, Hillary on her kneecap, on his kneecaps or something weird like that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
A bunch of his stuff. And the first time I came across him, actually, he was making these really cool kind of looping, like, say robots walking through a dystopian landscape that would just loop over and over. And he was making a whole bunch of those and just kind of giving them away for free for people to use, you know, however they felt they wanted to use them. And he was one of the first of these guys that sold these NFTs for big cash. And, you know, he's since now become kind of a quasi celebrity in the art world in that regard. And,
sure.
You know, he's hanging out with Gary V and whatever the heck.
he's at all the right parties in New York City and L.A. and Paris.
Exactly.
And
smoozing around with the, the funky folks up at those Eyes Wide Shut parties, maybe.
Yeah, something like that.
But, Jimmy, are you aware of that guy, Beeple?
No, absolutely not.
Absolutely not. All right. Well, you know, he does make some cool artwork, so it might be worth your time.
Yeah. Press the NFT button on your phone and you might just see some.
Yeah, you'll buy one.
No way.
No way. I'd delete that NFT button.
No way. Yeah, I ain't pushing there's a lot of funny buttons here. I got credit cards popping up and everything else.
Oh, geez, yeah.
Look out.
Phones can be dangerous.
Yeah. The scamming world is on fire right now, so we all have to be careful, no doubt.
Yeah. It's funny watching this, you know, in the periphery, watching this NFT stuff. Like, I remember Seth Green, I think it was, had one of his Bored Apes hacked and stolen, and then he bought it back off the guy.
Oh, you know, for like ransom or something?
Yeah, basically. And then you got Paris Hilton on freaking Jimmy Kimmel or something, like, oh, I got my board eight, blah, blah, blah. And it's actually pretty cringeworthy in so many respects. It's like, oh, God.
Paris Hilton, a few months back, was trying to make a reemergence into the celebrity sphere via the metaverse. Where she was like going into these different metaverses of different corporations that were making them. And she would be there to kind of like, as like, she's basically endorsing specific metaverses by being there as virtual Paris Hilton, her avatar or whatever. So you could go like hang out with her in that particular metaverse. So, you know, she was used as a spokesperson, but at the same time, like, you know, being in these metaverses as a virtual version of her augmented reality. So that happened a couple months ago. I don't know what's going on with that right now.
Wow. Well, I tell you, that didn't encourage me to go any.
Yeah, I know. Paris Hilton.
I was like, what the heck? What value of anything does she have for anybody?
I kind of understand. I kind of get conceptually the idea of it because she was one of the first reality stars, right?
Right.
Which is bizarre. And, you know, the whole concept of reality TV, and everybody knows it's not really reality. It's just kind of like this different version of scripted reality that's portraying itself as real, but it's not. Yeah. And so it's like, you know, the metaverse has lots of corollaries there. So it makes sense that they would put her as an early reality star.
Yeah, similar to Snoop Dogg. Snoop's probably, you know, the male contingent, and Paris Hilton was meant to be for the females or something.
Yeah, God knows.
Is there anything that Snoop Dogg will endorse?
Very true, Jimmy. Yeah, he'd probably endorse the Saudi killing of Khashoggi if they paid him enough. he was a bad guy. He needed the bone saw. But I don't disagree with you there, Jimmy. I saw he came to Victoria one time, and it was the worst concert I've ever been to.
Oh, you did see his show. Okay.
Yeah, he showed up about an hour late after the first guy had played. And then it was him on stage with these two dancers who looked kind of like, you know, mid-rent dancer types. And then he only played like, it was supposed to be a 2-hour show or something. He played like an hour and then left, and we were all just kind of flabbergasted. You know, it's not a huge arena, so I don't, he's not, but you know, you'd think as a performer, you're going to put your all into it, but yeah, I don't know, maybe you just had a bad day, but.
Maybe, yeah, it could be.
I'm definitely not going back. Can you say that again?
No dog, you just supposed to be on it, you know what I'm saying?
Well, we do have good weed up in Victoria here, so we might have just got blasted all together.
Yeah, that was.
Falling asleep or something.
That was where the real show was for him.
Yeah, I would have rather stayed in the smoking room the whole time. But the whole arena was full of smoke. That's one thing too.
Sure.
You know, which is.
See, Canadians need to learn that you gotta pay these rockers and rappers after the show.
Right. Half up front, half after or something. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. Good call. Well,
no half involved. That most of them would be happy with that, take off and not do any show. But you realize they're out for every nickel and dime they can get. Paris Hilton going into the virtual world. If she was there for 2 bits, I'd hate to see what she'd do for a nickel.
Well, how about what she looks like in 8-bit? Oh my God. Funny.
Yes, we're having some good puns on the show tonight. Very good.
Yeah, we're tossing out these puns here.
Yeah.
Just had a weird thought, but it just flew away, so carry on. Sorry.
Yeah, no, I mean, these are all good topics. I'm glad all this came up. I don't think I did mention the Paris Hilton and the metaverse thing on the show yet, so I'm glad we finally got that piece of news out. It's a bit too late. I'm sure everybody's forgotten it except for me. but here we are.
I don't know if this is just a meme or not. Oh, go ahead, Jimmy.
Oh, I'll just bet money that Ozzy's going to end up there.
Ah, okay, maybe.
Oh, in the metaverse? Yeah, yeah, it's possible.
Is he still alive?
Video game.
Ozzy's still going. He's had health issues lately, but I mean, this kind of circles around to the interesting concept, transhumanist concept of, you know, this virtual eternal life, right? And the resurrection. Mobility. Yeah.
Like he's really in a wheelchair right now, right? Would that be correct?
You're talking about Ozzy now? Are we talking about Ozzy Osbourne?
Yes.
I think he may be. I know he's not doing well, or he's been having issues.
Have you guys ever seen the movie? Have you guys ever seen the movie The Congress?
Wait.
No,
The Congress.
The Congress? No, what is that movie?
It's with the... What's that actor, Robin, something famous lady? Chuck, maybe you can chime in on that one. But it's basically the movie is about actors going in and getting their likeness scanned, and then they don't ever actually act in movies anymore. They just they get paid royalties for these movies, but the actors are placed in.
Yes. So there's a movie about that concept. Interesting. When was this movie made?
I'm going to say 10 years ago, maybe.
Okay. Well, that's bound to happen because they're already, like, the deepfake thing is already here. They're going to be able to, like, remake any given actor from any time period ever and put them into anything.
They did that with Star Wars, right?
Yes, they did do that with Star Wars. Yeah.
Put him in there. Well, they.
I think it was Carrie Fisher they did because passed
Carrie Fisher
of that new one. Yeah,
and he's talking about Robin Wright, by the way, the actress.
Oh, Robin Wright. Yeah, have you seen that movie, Chuck?
I haven't seen it, but I know that's a Robin Wright thing. Yeah.
Yeah, you should read the if you have it on hand. If you could read the synopsis, it's pretty fascinating.
Well, I'll go get it, but I gotta say that the Carrie Fisher thing was the most creeptastic thing I ever saw in a movie, like in Rogue One, when they had her like at the very end and it was just this creepy AI puppet. Like,
yeah, it wasn't, what do they call that one? Not the Turing effect, but the one where you can tell it's not real. What's that called again?
Oh, the Mandela effect? Is that what you're saying?
No, maybe it's a Turing test where you can't tell.
Oh, Turing's test. Yeah. The thing that a machine has to be able to fool you into.
Yeah.
You believing it's like a human when it's actually a machine.
No, Carrie Fisher did. Yeah, test. Carrie Fisher did not work out well. They redid another guy and they had like an actor stand in and then they pasted over him on, was one of the
character, Grand Moff Tarkin.
Yeah, Tarkin. Star Wars
nerd. Yeah.
That one was better, but the Carrie Fisher one was like startling. Like I remember watching Rogue One and nobody told me anything about it and I was like, holy crap. You know, she don't look right.
Yeah.
This is not old footage. Kind of, yeah. You know, this is bad. Yeah. She was really weird.
Her dying to Han Solo.
Hell yeah.
Well, they later on took old footage and did all kinds of different things and tried different blended techniques to add her back into some of the later movies, you know, the one where she's like floating in outer space and all of a sudden has force powers and all this. And it's like some of that stuff was filmed and some of it wasn't. So, but it blended together okay. But when the first time they did it on Rogue One, it was horrifying. It was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I remember as well. Like, ooh.
Yeah, like it was like, ooh.
Who signed off on that one?
Yeah, I was like, ooh, wow. You know, the blind guy knows this is fake. You got a problem here. You know, just saying.
They should have done a few more focus groups on that one, I guess.
I would have suggested it, Robin. Mm-hmm. Really, it was bad. It was like, woof. I mean, like her eyes were strange. The whole thing. It was just weird.
Yeah, it was very weird. I'm wondering why we haven't seen as many of these hologram concerts and things as we were for a little while there. Like,
yes. Yeah, that was big for me. When they brought Tupac back on stage. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or maybe we are seeing it, but we just don't notice it anymore.
I feel like it's all just different iterations of the same idea and the same thing. And again, it's this concept that we can resurrect those that we love via technology one way or another.
Well, did you see the Amazon thing where they advertised bringing back a dead grandparent to read you stories in bed?
Oh, God. This was Amazon doing this nonsense?
Yeah, like the Alexa. I don't think they were just kind of floating it out there that there was an option or that they were thinking about releasing it.
I remember hearing about this. Yeah, and people were kind of scared and creeped out by it, right?
They were going to do like a almost like a Black Mirror thing where they were going to stick like grandma in a teddy bear or something. And then the teddy bear would read stories like with grandma's voice. And I'm like, Jesus. Yeah.
I like this. It sounds like Teddy Ruxpin. Only in the future I'm going to have a Jimmy James and I could tell stories. And it could be a little me and like.
Like I wouldn't mind becoming Teddy Ruxpin, but who the hell wants a Chuck Teddy Ruxpin? I'm just asking, you know, who would want that?
I was gonna say, no offense, Jimmy, but I don't think I'd buy the Jimmy James bear.
See what I mean? Who the hell wants that?
Maybe a family member, right? Is for family members, I suppose.
I guess, but I got family.
Wait a minute.
Yeah,
I'm not for sale. But as far as the Chucky dolls, you're crazy. All kinds of people want Chucky dolls.
Yeah, but they want that Chucky doll. They don't want this Chucky doll, okay?
They don't want this.
You might be able to trick them, though, for a few.
Which, by the way, I want a Chucky doll. I want one. I had a small one, but I would love to have one of those, like, actual Chucky dolls.
Chuck, I'll send you a video of a project I'm working on. That basically is a Chucky doll that moves when you get close to it.
Nice. Okay.
Using Arduino stuff.
Cool. Listen, if I'm allowed to go back on YouTube, I'll take some of your video and post it if I can.
Okay, sure. They got you banned off there for the moment? Or?
Yeah, at the moment I'm banned on YouTube. The network is not allowed to post anything on YouTube.
You were posting some strange videos there for a little while, so maybe they shut you down.
But they didn't mind any of that, you see? And I was putting up puppies. I was also putting up puppies, people. Come on. I was putting up a weekly puppy video. And no problems there, thankfully, but no, I admit I was posting some strange stuff, yes.
Yeah, there was one where I watched it, I'm like, what is Chuck? You were like, you're in your car, like driving or maybe going to the grocery store or something.
Yeah, a trip to Walmart, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's...
I'm asking you if you felt all right and needed help.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing.
I should have. But, you know,
no, I got a weird AI response from YouTube, Google at some point, asking me if I needed assistance, like was I, you know, thinking about harming myself, et cetera.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, like, so wow. I'm telling you, there's a lot of creepy stuff I don't necessarily share with everybody that goes on.
Yeah, maybe they got, speaking of the AI, maybe they have some... mental health kind of monitors there. This person's posting habits have changed. You better check on them.
Yes, that's...
I used to have a great gag program that would install that little stupid thing, Clippy. It looked like Clippy on your computer, and he would just come out and say random crazy things. That's funny.
Like, yeah, was that a Microsoft Word thing or something?
The guy was shaped like a paperclip, kind of.
Yeah, right. That's right. Yeah. I remember that one.
Yeah, the real guy. This guy was just like a made to look like him. He'd come out and say, I'm lonely.
I don't remember that one. I remember there was some app or some programs you could download so like a lady would kind of dance sometimes on the side of your... she'd slide in and just do a little dance every once in a while and you'd be like, oh, yeah, cool.
Well,
I think it was probably sold by porn sites or something.
Maybe. Even though we lost Aaron for a couple of, about a minute or so.
I'm here. I'm just listening to it all.
Yeah, you're actually at the end of your hour.
Is anyone else?
This is the end of the show. It's okay. I would suggest if you guys want to hang on, just stay on the line. It's going to be the Uncle Show in a minute, as you know. Otherwise, we'll see you soon.
I'm going to jump off, and then I might call in halfway through because I got a couple things I got to take care of here. But
okay. All right, cool. So, sounds good, Ron. Thanks for calling
I'll message you in a half an hour if that's all right, Chuck.
Yep, sounds good.
Okay, talk to you guys in a bit. See you, Jimmy.
Take care for now, Robin. And then, Jimmy, do you want to hang out and just show up on the Uncle Show, or did you have to go now?
No, I'll just be a hanger on and I'll go on mute.
All right, sounds great. We'll talk to you in a minute.
So I'll put Jimmy on hold. I'll put Jimmy on hold, and Robin will come back to us about halfway through the hour, and there you have it.
Okay. Yes, and this is the Age of Transitions. Theageoftransitions.com is the website. Thank you, everybody, for listening. My name is Aaron Franz. As always, I will leave you by saying, Seeker, seek on.
The Age of Transitions.
The War State by Michael Swanson explains the great national transformation that took place and put the Kennedy presidency in the context of the times and reveals never-before-published information about the Cuban Missile Crisis. President Kennedy would not have been assassinated if he had been president 200 years ago. His assassination took place in the context of the Cold War and the rise of the national security state. Before World War II, the United States was a continental republic. In the decade that followed, it became an imperial superpower. Generals such as Curtis LeMay not only wanted to invade Cuba, but knew that there were short-range missiles on the island armed with nuclear warheads that they could not destroy because they were on mobile launchers. Their invasion could have led to a third world war, and they wanted to go to war anyway. The War State by Michael Swanson reveals why and will show you what President Kennedy was up against. For more information, thewarstate.com.
Go ahead, caller.
Hey, I'm interested in the truth about the JFK assassination.
Right. Well, what do you want to know?
Judy Baker's wild claim, Oswald girlfriend, he knew Ruby and Barry, cancer weapons. Really?
I imagine I could claim I have four wheels. It doesn't make me a wagon, but okay.
Oswald was on the kill team and trying to prevent the murder of John Kennedy. Come on now. Has a real expert on the JFK assassination looked into her claims?
Go to Amazon.com. Enter Judith Baker in her own words. You'll get results for a digital copy of a book where Walt Brown utilizes her own words and the known evidence in the case to get at, well, a different perspective, let's say. You can get Judith Barry Baker in her own words from the author himself, signed if you request it, by contacting Dr. Brown at KIASJFK@AOL.com. It's a fun book, and it actually dissects the many, many fantastic claims. Judith Barry Baker in her own words.
Thank you for all the great information.
Uncle, I'll bet you remember the time when Benjamin Fulford said that the Asian Secret Society was going to dispatch ninjas to take out the Illuminati to change the entire world for the better.
That ain't never gonna happen. That never did.
It never did, did it?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, because there's a lot of false promises.
It's fools? I can't say one.
We better not say and be polite. But there are no false promises at the Ocelli.com radio network.
That's exactly it. Not. It's truth, the point, right to the point. And this is what I like. Straight to the point.
Ocelli.
Ocelli.com.
Listen now.
Listen now.
World order. Gossip, hearsay, slander, rumors. There's a G for that, okay? So how do you combat it? Slowly, carefully, painfully. It's a painful process. Every single headline points to the birth and new world order. When historians of the future look back at the 21st century, they'll say, well, gee, all the crises of the 21st century, it's obvious. There's a direction, there's a pattern. The birth of a new world order. The pattern. The birth of a new order.
Revelation through conversation.
This is a Mercy Broadcast. Code Red, here we are. Pick up your iPads, your cell phones, and have me and listen to Uncle the Podcast. Watch out. If you're sitting down for this, or if you're standing up, you better get ready for this, because it's going to hit the eardrums. Uncle the Podcast.
Listening to Uncle the Broadcast. My name is Aaron. I'm the nephew. Live with me is the star of the show, Uncle.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. 272 we are at.
Maybe.
No, 272. Let no nigga about it. No, and I've only been around a week. I've been gone a week, and I even know my numbers. Okay there, Chuck. Get on the callers.
It's a live call-in show. As listeners know, you can call in. We're live on the Ocelli Radio Network. Call 319-527-5016. Or you can get on through Skype. Send Chuck a message. He's Charles.Ocelli on Skype. Send him a message. Type it, and he'll bring you on Charles.Ocelli in Skype. Or call 319-527-5016. We're here. It's a Friday night. It's the Uncle the Show, Uncle the Podcast, Uncle the Broadcast. We're glad to be here. Uncle, are you ready for this? Are you okay there?
Testing teeth.
Are your teeth working?
I'm having a pop. I'm trying to get done with my teeth, but okay. Something happened today. Well, I couldn't get done.
Well, that's why we encourage callers. We want you to do the talking, callers. And I think on that note, I'm pretty sure we have a caller we can go to.
Jimmy, on the line. Let's see. Don't hide yourself, Jimmy.
There we go. Caller.
You're on air.
Doing good here.
See, I knew it was him.
Doing good here, fellas.
How do you know? How do you know I knew it was you?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It's like magic. It's the magic of broadcasting is all I'll say, is the way that we knew. But yeah, Jimmy, what's been going on in your world? How are you doing over there?
Yeah.
Well, even Steven-ish as usual. I had a car. My car went down the tubes. And then,
By the way, you get a new one yet?
I did, but this was like a month ago. Anyways, I had this Cadillac lined up I was going to buy. It just didn't work out. For one thing, he wouldn't give me a good explanation why there's a bunch of bullet holes in it.
Bullet holes? Hey, man, what are we in a movie? Somebody in the movie?
No, I was just trying to buy a car. This car had bullet holes in it. What's up with that?
I don't understand. How could be bullet holes in a car that the person is trying to sell to a salesman, and you can't even understand the reason for it? It don't make any sense.
Well, I think they probably bought it on auction is what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that would be the only other option. It might be, yeah.
Perhaps. Hard to say. Used car market is stranger than it ever has been. It has always been pretty strange. So that's saying a lot. So it's hard to know who to trust.
Oh, there's your thing. What?
Yeah, what's up, Jim?
Due to my The tow guy, screwed up. He, damaged my car in transit, so I did get paid off for it. And I checked this out. I got a pretty good deal. I bought you wouldn't even believe it. Because you guys are used to California prices. I know how it is out there. But I bought a 2009 PT Cruiser, 162,000 miles, $600.
Whoa. Nice. The PT Cruiser.
Now that's a car to hold on to.
The PT Cruiser. Mm-hmm. Why is that out there?
It's a sports car. It's a car that will last a while if you keep up with it.
So it's proven to hold its value.
That's what I mean. Value.
You get all this, Jimmy. The PT.
Get it, Jimmy?
Yeah, this is the second one I've owned, ironically. And I've never really sought out to buy them.
They just fall in your lap.
More their Chevy cousin is the HRR, because it's designed by the same guy. I've never had one of them yet.
Yeah, yeah. I know the one you're talking about. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, we love the PT Cruiser on Uncle the Podcast. If you go back on the Instagram for at Uncle Podcast, there is a post of a PT Cruiser with a flame paint job that we saw one day.
Oh, yeah, that's on there. That's on there. We got that on there.
It's on the Instagram, so go check that one out. Just scroll down a little ways. You'll find it. You can't miss it. It's on fire.
I threw a picture. I gave Sidekick here while I was on vacation as something to put on Instagram. Did you put it on yet?
I have not put that on.
When you put it on, you took mine to tell the people in the crack room.
The people in the crack room need to see.
Yeah, they need to see what I was doing.
What were you doing? Why don't you explain what you're doing, Uncle? Now's the perfect time on the show.
We were meant, a lot of eating, let's put it that way. But we had this picture that my cousin Kev said, come over and I'll take a picture of this. It was
you were in Nashville, Tennessee, right?
Nashville, Tennessee.
That's where your trip was.
Yeah.
Okay.
And we went to there. I was actually a surprise man.
Oh,
what
yeah,
it was is they didn't know I was coming. The people was shocked. They didn't even know, I had to hide. So they went to until they came up and spooked them and hey, what do you know?
Yeah. So you scared everybody by showing up.
Yeah.
Terrified them.
They're terrified. Right.
In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way.
I see Robin's on YouTube, so we're streaming live on YouTube, Twitch, and Uncle's Twitter. He said that Uncle Volume can go down a little. I turned the knob a little. I did my knob magic, so hopefully that worked. But yeah, Uncle just recently was on a trip to Nashville. That's part of the reason we weren't here last week. So apologies to the audience.
I didn't say he could have had his show if he wanted to.
Yeah,
it was his choice. It was his choice to have his show, but I wouldn't be until this following week.
Is it that
everybody loves my show over your show? Sidekick.
Maybe.
Ah, yeah, we got to the system. We got to the point.
There
it is. Is that the point?
Could be. It's a point. Not sure if it's the point, but it's a point. And so we were gone last week. We're back. We'll try to be here every week. Yeah, we just had some difficulties. Things happen. Uncle wasn't here, but we're back. And yeah, it's glad to be back.
Yeah.
And we've got Jimmy James on the line, and anybody else can call in if they wish, 319-527-5016, or Skype, charles.ocelli. So please do call and join us. We've gotten quite a few new subscribers to the YouTube, Uncle.
They we keep do?
Kinda, yeah, people just keep gradually subscribing
on the YouTube?
To it. I don't know who they are. It's just YouTube people.
Okay, where are you guys from? Speak up. Let's hear you.
I don't know. It seems like they go back mostly and listen to the show later and not live. So we are getting more views on the YouTube versions of the show than we did. So that's kind of cool.
Somebody here on the line.
I think, Jimmy, are you listening to the show in the background? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm listening on the phone.
Now, this is Jimmy James' minor feedback problem. That's what that is. You're hearing a little bit of feedback from the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's all.
Okay.
It's not bad, though. It's not bad.
Got it. Feedback. Well, Uncle, you've got a souvenir on your trip, right?
I got this drop glass that we said, well, yeah, I found out something about me buying one of, getting this. My niece is also a collection of drop glasses that I didn't even know about. Melanie.
Oh, she collects
She dropped glass too, like, and I didn't know about it. I didn't know that. Melanie did.
To collect.
So, yeah, well, we got this here. I figured to have a drink out of off of this, to have a drink on this from Nashville.
This is, what's it say? It says, I'm trying to read it. Whoa. It says Gaylord Opryland?
Opryland in Nashville. Yeah. Opryland. That's Opryland. Okay. We walked through Opryland.
So that's where you were. That's one of the places you stopped in Nashville. Yeah. Okay.
It was in a mall. And they had to drop, and they had
Robin is suggesting that we make a drop glass for the Uncle show. We could put the Uncle logo on a drop glass. That could be pretty cool. We should look into that. I like that idea.
What's a drop glass? What do you mean?
It's a small glass with a couple of fill up to so much, and you drink it out of it, and it's a drink like a heavy drink like this drink here.
It's what I was. Yeah, it's what Uncle calls a shot glass, Jimmy James. Just so you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, that's why.
Oh, if anybody else got a drink with them, have a drink and join us.
We're going to test Uncle's shot glass from Nashville with this tequila that I happen to have on hand. So you want a shot of tequila, Uncle?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I want to try this one because it's the new one. Friday night. I want to try it one day.
So let's see here. We got to make sure that this glass works, first of all, because you're never quite sure until you do it. It's like the, the Humean problem of induction. You don't know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow. You just assume that it will.
As long as people, as long as not Santa Claus wine, he's fine.
I'll be fine. I
know.
I won't even know it tomorrow. I'll be good. I'll wake up. I'll jump out of bed.
I'm afraid of him drinking these days, people, because the way he's reacting lately.
The moment my eyes open, I'll just go, boom, and I'll spring out of bed. I'll leap up 3 feet. And I'll it's off to the races. I'm going to start making eggs and toast.
There's on the drop glass. So we can put.
I'm drinking out of the Capitol Reef National Park shot glass, personally.
Yeah, that's
wonderful place to visit in Utah if you ever get the chance. So let's to broadcasting. Okay, here we go. For anybody that wants to know, we're drinking.
What is that?
Omega Altos tequila. Nice, it's made.
And I thought I was gonna drink a beer, and it comes out with this.
Good. Count Pupper says, "Nice shot glass, Uncle."
You.
He enjoys that. Yeah, so fine souvenir there. You did a good job on that one, Uncle. Did it work? Did it hold the tequila properly?
It holds it. It was my tipping, my hand.
Good.
They work.
I'm glad to see that. Yeah. So, thank you everybody for joining us tonight. Thank you for listening in the podcast. Maybe you're listening to this on YouTube or watching it on YouTube later. Thank you for that. If you do, let us know. Send us a comment on YouTube or send us a message on social media or even an email. Let us know why you started subscribing. Let's know your story. Where did you come from? What made you press that subscribe button? We don't even do that. We don't do like those kid YouTubers, Uncle, you know, when you watch their YouTube channels.
Yeah.
Every video they make, like, press the subscribe button, press the subscribe button.
Dude, yeah, they do. You ever have us heard that there?
They don't do that.
They do.
They sure
they
do.
They pop it every single time. There goes the button. There goes the button.
Press the button, everybody.
What's the point of pressing a button if you're not on a live show?
Yeah, smash the subscribe button and the bell. They always want you to hit the bell, too, so you can get notifications. Right?
Yes, of course, the bell.
The bell.
So I think we need to make it a new policy, Uncle. Be like, press the button.
Okay, well, we're going to say this. Press the button and the bell ring. What are you laughing at, Sarge?
No, it's serious. This is very serious.
This is serious. I'm trying to talk something, and you're cracking up. Here he goes again, people.
I think it's a good idea, a good practice. Maybe every week we just make a point. One of us can remind the other, like, we didn't say to press the button. We got to tell them to press the button, and then we can do that. And then everybody will know what they have to do, press the button, and then voila, we'll get like twice the subscribers in one show probably.
Right.
I assume is how that works. I don't know.
Yeah.
Must be.
I got my what is it, first, second? Second cousins. Second cousins, I think.
Your second cousins were in Nashville with you?
Yeah, that was Kevin's kids. Yeah, second cousin.
Yeah, it was a family trip for
me. Trip for me, and just to see them. And boy, let me tell you, they're in the Titan Land. Titan Land, all in that state.
They're Tennessee Titan fans.
Yeah. You better watch it.
Watch out for them as fans? Okay.
I mean, I got a thing now. Every football season start. When the football season begins, I text them at halftime.
A Titans game.
When the Titans play.
Yes, I see.
I'm going to say, well, what do you think he did? I'm giving him the clue because I gave him a heads up before they do, because Kevin said he's always with his kids. So if I see him, if I hear from Jake, he's around him. Because he told me that.
The Rams are playing a preseason game right now.
They're playing right now. They're playing the Texans.
Playing Houston.
Right? See, Houston, Texas now. But it's preseason. You know how that goes. They got their side people in, their backup and stuff.
Yeah.
Did everybody hear about like the quarterback? I haven't seen him on the sideline. Guy they got from the 49ers. I'm looking for him.
Jimmy Garoppolo is on the Rams now.
But I haven't seen him yet. Maybe he's doing a surgery work. Maybe he's in an injury thing and still
I don't know the
doing
details.
Some stuff with him.
Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that deal, but apparently he's on the Rams now.
He's on the Rams now.
He was the main quarterback for
the 49ers.
The 49ers, yeah, a big rival team of the Rams. Mm. And now they have him, I guess, as Stafford's backup. So
it was his backup. Oh, it's his backup if he gets hurt.
Stafford's still the quarterback.
Right.
No doubt about it.
But he was in street clothes tonight.
Oh yeah,
they don't play their regulars in the preseason games anyway.
No.
So it's good to watch the players they picked out of the draft to see how they do. And that's what I was doing downstairs watching while he was on his podcast.
And the Rams Sean McVay playbook seems to be not so much even with the draft, but to get established players in the trading. He seems so fond of his
draft. He does it better with the trading than doing the drafting. For some reason, young coaches like that knows what they're doing. They know what they're doing, and they understand how to operate. Yeah, you don't go to a draft and get some players unless you have a player that's in the hook. Then get them to rebound. But other than that, I don't see how the Rams take it
like how they take it. They do not take it like going to get somebody in the draft.
It's a crapshoot with the draft. Even if it's like a first round pick, you don't know really how that college player is going to translate to the NFL.
That's the point.
When you're trading guys, it's guys that players have been there for at least a year that you get to see, like, okay, this is what they've done there. Conceivably, they'll keep doing the same thing, or maybe they'll do even better given our situation here. And that's where, you know, the guys that really have a knack for that and know what they're doing that run good teams.
You know, he lost his coach and he got a coaching job in Minnesota.
Who's that?
A coach off of his staff.
The Rams staff?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, one of the coaches left to Minnesota? I didn't know about that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. He got a job and he's now the head coach of it.
Oh, they're always.
He's in Minnesota.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, they get better offers. It's like anybody working any job. If you get a job offer at a different company and they're offering you more money or a better position or both,
you know, he says
he's probably gonna take it.
He said go. I mean, he didn't mind.
Yeah, it's business.
Because he's a young coach. This guy's a young coach, and it surprised me how he built this team up with the other coaches, of course, to build it up to get to the big prize.
They won.
And they did it.
They did.
I mean, it was shocking. But listen, we had his wife, let me tell you, his wife is so scared.
McVay's wife?
No, yours.
My wife?
Because at the end of the game, she has to go out. Why are you going out of the game to watch a game and thinking they're going to win? Oh, we got to go. You can't watch. This is what I'm saying.
My wife is famous for during football games. And this is not just while we're watching on TV. This is actual live football games.
Live football games.
When it comes down to a big moment and she gets nervous as to what's going to happen, she'll like close her eyes or she'll look the other direction so she doesn't have to see what happens.
Yeah.
She's so nervous.
She gets nervous. She's a nervous person. I mean, man, I don't. And she says, you don't look. Don't look. I had to go outside with her not to look. And I want to see some game. I want to see some plays. Pete's sakes.
Robin is in the chat and he's saying you're losing me with the sports talk, Uncle.
What?
Robin, he needs a new topic.
What do we want to talk about? Well, cut on the line and ask me.
Yeah, get on this line.
Get
Robin.
On this line now. Now I'm talking my thing because I have no callers. That's what I was gonna do tonight.
Yep.
So get on it and cock. Get on the phone.
Yeah. Get in that bathroom and cock up the shower for us.
You want to talk about something? Go ahead and come, and we'll talk about it.
Yep.
Oh, maybe
we got Jimmy.
What's going on with Pittsburgh? Pittsburgh's quarterback?
That is a good question. What is going on with Pittsburgh's quarterback?
Is that the quarterback they got from Chicago?
Dude, that's apparently in a lot of legal trouble.
I think.
Wait, are you talking about Pittsburgh or Cleveland? Because you got Deshaun Watson in Cleveland. That's
Cleveland. Oh, I am about Cleveland. He's gonna be playing about the end of the season time, first game, because he's suspended for so many games. That he's going to start on the 26th of the game. I forget who the
Oh, we've got a new call on the line.
Who is that? A new call on the line? Hold on here.
Super Robin here to save the day from Sports Talk.
Oh. I told you I'd wake him up. Well, what do you want to talk about?
He's awake.
I wouldn't mind talking about Uncle.
What?
Your latest trip to Landers. Have you guys been to Landers recently?
Oh, tell me about Landers. I haven't been because I want to see it completed. But my sister and his wife went today and took a man out of the program to do the floors.
Right out of the program.
Out of the program, out of here. And
you talking
he's
about
gonna,
12 steps, Uncle?
No, he's she got fired. Oh, she fired the guy.
She fired the guy.
I don't know who it was, who the floor man was.
He was fired.
I don't know who he was.
She came in there my wife walked in there and she Donald Trumps him. She goes, yep, I am. And then Donald new Trump. Floor guy, go down to the meeting and get my sponsor. He's the perfect man for the job. And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened today.
What do you mean that's what just happened today? Is that what she told you?
It's something like that.
You know? Oh, I didn't hear the story. I should say I haven't heard it.
It was something like that.
Donald
Trump.
You're fired.
You're fired. You know who that was? You're fired. You know who that was, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, talking to Jimmy. You know who that was, don't you?
Yeah, no.
The now ex-president.
Jimmy, did you ever watch that show?
Yeah.
The Apprentice.
The Apprentice.
Not once.
I think
he should have stayed. I think he should have stayed with that show and not be a president.
He should have stuck with the game shows. The game show TV
and forget him. Stay out of the damn president regulations. Well,
I think Trump talk might be worse than sports talk, Uncle. So let's try to. Let's, no offense.
Oh, now good talking that.
I'm directing the show today, apparently. But.
I told him that he should have talked about that on his hour.
Government hour, I know.
Government hour, that was his hour.
Trump in the government hour, right?
Yeah, no, he's a government man. He's the one. You saw a sidekick here. Talk to sidekick.
We're talking about Donald Trump in the metaverse in the previous hour, Uncle.
You were already?
He's hanging out with Paris Hilton in the metaverse, they're rehashing The Apprentice. It's going to be a real hit. It's going to be the biggest ratings, the best ever, unlike anything you've ever seen. I can't wait for it.
Do you think that they are going to put him in? I mean, look at what he did. But look back just a moment. He took papers that weren't supposed to take to his house. Yeah. Now, that's a law in itself, isn't it? No, what do you mean no?
There's a law against papers, Jimmy. You know this.
I'm sure Jimmy's got an opinion on this one.
Let's be accurate now. The president alone has the power to classify, declassify anything he wants.
So at that point.
Lawyer called
in, don't you have to do that before you take things home?
You got to take. You can't take things home.
He had a standing order that when any papers were removed from the White House, they were to be considered his papers, declassified.
That seems absolutely ridiculous, but it's possible.
Is that what they were saying?
That's been one of the defenses. Of course, none of his former staffers acknowledged that standing order existed.
Yeah, Jimmy, have you seen any evidence of that other than that?
You're wrong.
I'm wrong. How am I wrong? Also which one of them came out? Which one of them came out? Which one of them came out and said that they knew about that standing order? Which one of them came out and said it?
Yeah, post that one in the chat there, Jimmy.
Google it. There's two of them 3-4 days ago.
Which one's
what? The 1917... act Espionage that they're talking about obviously doesn't apply to the president because he's the head of the whole branch of government. He could declassify anything.
Yeah,
he can.
He's got to notify people.
He's the FBI was doing. He's got to going in and stealing papers.
Okay,
that would have cleared him in the Russia so-called gate.
Okay.
In other words, they were stealing papers that he was going to use, which vindicated him from the Russiagate farce that's been proven seven ways from Sunday to be complete pack of lies.
Right. Okay, so anyway, look, As I keep wondering, is where is the notification to the agencies that are involved? Because even though the president has the right to do that, yes, he does. Yes, he does.
No, he doesn't.
Yes, he does.
Well, then he's screwed up because
here's the problem. Here's the. Oh no, I'm dead serious. I'm dead serious about it because.
You don't get it. Right. You don't get who the chief executive is.
Yeah, I get who the chief executive is. But you got to notify because otherwise these agencies don't know. Because otherwise these agencies don't know what is classified and what's not classified if they're not notified about it, even if he has the right to do so. Or do you just say that he can just say it in his own head and that's the end of it? I'm just asking because...
That's exactly what he...
Okay.
I think this is deteriorating pretty deeply into government talk.
Political government talk on the Uncle Alan. There you go.
You're the one that wanted to talk about something.
Well, I apologize, Uncle. I apologize. That's not the topic I was thinking about.
Well, we got another caller. We got another caller, Uncle, if you want to go to another call.
We'll take another caller. Who's this on the caller?
Got to take the call.
Let's take the calls. I want the calls out.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, caller.
Caller.
You're on Uncle the Broadcast.
Hey, the Count.
Hey, County! Let's hope we're not going through what we just did before.
I thought this was Comedy Hour.
I know. That's exactly what I was thinking. But what's his name?
I find this funny.
Wanted to talk nothing about sports. And I was trying to talk Robin's fault now talking, and that's what he got. And this is what got me. We started this. Yes, you got in playing, Robin.
Playing. All right, I'll take it.
Oh, it's my hour.
Yeah, that was your
government.
Hour. Government
papers.
Hour.
Papers. We talked about papers. We talked about government.
Okay, what's up with you there, Count?
Not much. Not much.
You got any jokes to lighten the mood?
Where is these women?
Do I have any what?
Any jokes to lighten the mood?
Light. How's he doing in the crack room?
I got a question for Count.
Hey, what happened to this
Count, do you have any in your possession good drop glasses?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What's your favorite?
What you on the drop?
No, I don't.
Don't?
You don't have
any? I don't have any. I have like plain ones. I have plain clear glass ones. I don't have any novelty ones.
By the way, when you brought up making an Uncle the Podcast drop glass in the chat room, immediately Face Shifter said he wanted one, and so do I, by the way.
See?
That's a good idea.
You know we can do that.
Glasses I've stolen.
No, we can do that. All we have to do is cup on this here, follow this. Put this on
the logo.
And just put it on a top glass.
It's just you gotta print on it. Uncle the Podcast drop glass. You have to have that text on there, mm-hmm. Otherwise,
right.
Yeah.
I'm thinking maybe just Uncle the Drop Glass, and then
Uncle the Drop Glass.
maybe not even
Uncle the Drop Glass is good.
I did find some in the airport.
We
had the beer that I still was looking for.
Uncle, we've gone into Spaceballs territory where all the merch becomes Uncle the whatever. Like Spaceballs, the bumper stickers. It's Uncle the Drop Glass.
Uncle the Halloween mask.
Picture,
Uncle the Halloween mask. How about that?
Yeah.
Ooh, there
where's
you go.
My picture from what's his name?
You got to make it one of those with the movable jaw, though. So you like when you put it on, like it actually fits to the bottom of your jaw. So when you talk, the mouth opens and closes.
No. Now we're talking. Now we're talking a jaw problem.
Yeah.
I have. I'm practicing.
Oh yeah, that's an issue for you right now.
It is an issue.
I think we need to tell everybody about it.
Oh, Chuck, you got the sensitive topic here.
I'm sorry.
I made
a mistake.
I got the. No, yeah, know me about my teeth,
important.
Right?
This is important.
Yeah, important. I know all these about my teeth, right? I got in these different teeth now.
You got your new teeth.
That I didn't finish because of one thing. That stupid van. Oh, I hope they get rid of it and get a new van.
Well, okay, we're trouble with the band, but
and that brought to this next question.
What's the next?
Those bands suck. You know what?
Every car, and they have to go to Lantus.
It's a good band.
And no, everywhere I go. Wait a minute. No, is he talking about the public van, or is he talking about your van, Aaron?
Our van.
Our
van.
Their van. Okay.
We have a problem with that van.
I like it.
Well, that problem with that van is they got the problem with fixing it. And the screw bull that they sold it to, the screw bull that sold it to them was ridiculous.
I think you're making a mound out of a molehill here, Uncle.
But this problem have to go back to the place to get it fixed. This has been the second time you went to that place.
What does
that
have to do with your jaw? I thought we were going to tell the story.
Because I couldn't go to the dentist.
The dentist?
I couldn't go because I had one car. That's what it had to do with my jaw.
But your jaw, the dentist told you not to stick out your bottom jaw and jut it out anymore.
That's what I'm practicing not to do.
That's what we were going to tell everybody. So the dentist is recommending that you not protrude your bottom jaw forward because they're telling you
how does it look that
you do that. It looks good now. It looks like it's where it should
be. Because it's relaxed.
So he's creating like a dysplasia. He's creating.
What I have to do is relax it. That's it.
You're creating a dysplasia in your jaw, which means that your teeth now won't line up right. That's what the problem is?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. I get it. Now I get it.
Yeah. But now it's when I put it in, I've got to learn to put it in and relax it. What are you laughing at?
I'm just laughing about the van. I'm sorry.
I'm in the van. That van is shrunk. Go away. Get a new one. Get a new car. Recalling all vans. Recalling all vans. Everybody. Recalling all vans. Got a recall. That's a recall.
Okay, fine.
It's gone.
Total recall.
Get him out of here.
Get him in here. That's
right. Get a new...
Do we still have the callers here? Count, are you still here?
Are you still here, Count?
Yeah, I don't understand the connection between the teeth and the van.
It was the transportation that I couldn't do it because the transportation.
He couldn't go to the dentist.
One car.
Yeah. He couldn't make it to the dentist. Yeah.
Couldn't make it today.
That's why.
That was is about the teeth and the van. Yeah. Oh, they had one car. She had to go to the desert, straighten up a few things.
Yeah. So we went to the desert. My wife played Donald Trump. You fired. We got a guy from 12 Steps.
12 Steps.
And then Uncle went to the dentist, and he was mad because the van didn't work. But his jaw has to be inward. It's basically what's been happening this past week. And he just got back from Nashville.
Yeah.
That's everything that's been happening in our life.
So far.
Pretty exciting, isn't it? We live exciting lives.
Well, and I wasn't even expect this trip that I went on. I wasn't expecting it. It was a full surprise for me.
And you got about 15 minutes to tell us about this tequila, too, by the way.
Oh, yeah, tequila.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Do you want to say, what do you think of the tequila, Uncle? You like
15 minutes for tequila.
15 minutes of tequila is what we call this. It sounds like
we have
a lot of trouble, actually.
Was that from what store before we start?
This, I think I got this from Total Wine.
Oh, now that's going to be a 10 for me.
Omega Altus.
I'm a 10 on that.
Oh, a 10 on the tequila? Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That's where you get on the scale 1 to 10 for this tequila?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll give it a 9.
Oh, wow. Like real it. Close there. Real
Could
close,
be better,
people.
But it's a good one.
Oh.
About that? I like
to anybody else had a drink while we're on drinks?
Jimmy, do you have a drink right now?
Mexican Coca-Cola.
Oh.
Ooh, that's good. Nice. How are you feeling about that?
That is that.
It's a real sugar.
Yeah, well.
Mm-hmm. Real sugar in a glass bottle, right, Jimmy?
Good. Exactly. It don't taste like rapids.
Right.
I just tried this drop glass just to have it something to drink at him. Because I poured it there.
Oh, Uncle, where does the shot glass fall on a scale of 1 to 10? Just the glass itself.
Mm.
Not what's in it. What do you think about that?
It's rate the shot glass.
That's a 9.5. Almost a 10. Almost a 10, but and, 9.
That's a good shot glass.
9.5, yeah.
And by the way, Count, I know you just ate ice cream, but do you have a drink with you?
Yeah.
Water, about it. Holden Spring.
Okay. Spring water? Wait a minute, wait a minute. Spring water?
Yeah.
Now, this is what tasting spring water.
Spring water, yeah.
Okay, you can do the spring water, because the spring water is good. Yeah. I've had ice cream and spring water.
Give us a rating.
What's the rating on that?
1 to 10. Where's the waterfall?
It's water. That's a 10. You need it.
Yeah, I can see that.
There you go. Yeah, yeah. Survival standpoint, there's no arguing that. Yeah. Very good.
Well,
back to basics here. With the
well, where is our buddy that haven't been on the phones? I haven't heard him.
Yeah, no, I got that question. I also got the question of who keeps knocking into the mic stand over there, because I'm hearing the knocking on the mic stand like...
Knocking on the stand.
Yeah, I'm wondering...
it's one of us, either you or me, Uncle. I'm not paying close enough attention, actually.
I keep hearing...
Might be me, because I got it so low.
I got you. I tie a bandana around the springs on my boom stand so I don't get that rattling noise that I keep hearing from you guys, which is that, you know... Yeah, you guys hear it, right?
So you hear that. So that's still good, then.
Your microphones are good, yeah.
I'm testing it. I'm testing this thing. I know, so I guess it's working better.
There we go. That's a better angle.
See, there, in the Spaceballs Uncle store, we can also make Uncle the Crash Test Dummy Doll.
Test
everything with your friend, the Crash Test Dummy Uncle.
There was another thing I forgot to tell you. We also went to a beard testing, drinking.
In Nashville.
Okay. And I had a test on that.
Okay.
I had a 2... On one drink.
2 out of 10?
2 out of 10. Tastes blah. 2? 2. Barely made the scale. Let me hear that one. Barely made the scale.
Wow.
And the other one was a 10.
Oh.
I had 2 drinks for a testing.
Was that a brewery?
Yeah, brewery. That's right. It was a brewery.
Quick Skype comment.
It had a brewery in the thing. And there was draft clothes in the other store where you can look for your shirts. I found out that my youngest cousin, he also goes to them places.
Drift stores.
Oh, okay. See, he goes to drift stores too.
Cool. Much like yeah. Jimmy James, who calls into every show, right? I have certain listeners that listen to every show on the network. We have a Skype comment from a guy, and I wanted to see what Uncle's reaction to this would be. Do you know, Uncle, that you can get bottled beer and have labels put on it so you could literally get an Uncle the Podcast beer going, and you got to buy them either a half dozen or a dozen at a time from certain breweries, and they will place a graphic on the label for you?
I would have done that there with the trip. I didn't know about that.
That's cool.
I would have done that on the trip if I'd have known about it.
That'd be good for a party. I like the idea of having the Uncle the Podcast logo on a plain white can would look really cool.
That would be cool too. But anyway, Kevin in Florida, he cannot call in during this show because he's working, but he wanted to make that comment. And I say, look, mail that to Aaron at, what is your email address, Aaron?
You can email me franz@theageoftransitions.com.
There you go.
That's a good email to get me at. Yeah. I'm interested in that. For the right occasion, I would definitely make up some Uncle the Podcast beer cans for sure. Yeah.
I mean, we can make those prizes, during the revolution if we come up with a contest for the revolution.
Yeah. We can do that. Yeah. I can bring that up.
That would be awesome.
In fact, I'm still waiting.
We have to get a whole distribution network set up here to get.
I'm still waiting for your shirt and his shirt.
Oh yes.
Yeah, I'm still waiting.
Well, after you make Uncle the Podcast the cereal next, and
the cereal,
you know,
I with the cereal,
what little marshmallow,
little
shirt.
Uncle head, Uncle's head as a marshmallow, perfect. There you go.
Hey, Uncle. What? Uncle, what would you want your beer to taste like?
Beer to taste like.
What flavor type of beer
would you
like?
Your personal beer.
Yeah.
Oh. Fruit. Actually, a fruit taste.
Fruit flavored beer.
That's what I taste.
Fruit?
Maybe you got Uncle the wine cooler that way.
Yeah, wine cooler. It would be strawberries, raspberries, and...
Uncle's berry beer.
What is that when you got on a tree?
Berry beer.
Pomegranate.
And pomegranate.
Uncle Pigs. Says, forget Bartles and James. I'm one guy and I'm doing this. Uncle, yeah. The wine cooler.
You got that?
There you go.
Yeah, you got that.
Did you get that, whoever that was?
Whoever's doing
that. Yeah.
Okay.
Count as it, yeah.
All right, count. You can do that for a business operation. And find out, see what comes up with it. Comes out. Go. What are you laughing at, sidekick?
Hey, this is brainstorming. This is good.
Brainstorm.
Yeah. What do you think does marketing people do at all these big companies? They just sit around and do this stuff.
Yeah, I know. Talk
about. Fill up their shot glasses and start like goofing around.
Did we get an official rating on the tequila yet? By the way, because
yeah, we did.
Okay,
yeah. We did. He had a 9 and a 9, and I said a 10.
Oh, I didn't catch Aaron's 9. All right, you said a 10. Uh-huh.
And the shot glass got a 9.5 out of it.
Oh, 9.5. Oh, what it was. 9.5? That's a shot. Yeah, from him.
That No, you rated the shot glass.
Oh, the shot glass. Yeah, 9.5. Yeah. Oh, the shot glass. I thought you meant
the drink.
I
rated the tequila at 9. You rated the shot glass at 9.5.
Yeah, that's what it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There we go, everybody.
But it is very nice, these shot glasses, man.
It's a fine shot glass. Are you pulling off the label right now?
Trying to.
Price tag.
I didn't realize. I thought it was on the bottom, and I saw it on the back side of this. I thought it was on the bottom side.
Yes. But, yeah, we're having a pretty good show here. I'm enjoying myself tonight. I'm lots of great callers here.
I had a few, about four.
We've really updated everybody because we were gone for a week. They know exactly every detail of our lives since we've been gone. So we've given everybody a full update of everything that we do.
But I'm not going to be upset. It's just for an example. If you want to do a show, go ahead and you're welcome to. I mean, just to say, because I was missing.
Oh, yeah.
I meant that reason.
Yeah, no, yeah. I get what you're saying. Yeah, yeah. I had some extenuating circumstances on my own end that made it that I couldn't even make it in on time.
So I didn't know because that's
I would have liked to do it. Right. Well, 2 hours is a bit much, I have to say, to talk about quantum computing. I don't know if I can do it.
Count Puffer has put in the chat room the one of these companies that does the put your own label on a beer web links, just so you know.
Will is what's his name? I haven't heard him. I haven't heard the quack quack, the knock knock.
You talking about Creative Accident?
Yes. Where's that guy?
He must be busy tonight because he's not in the chat rooms at all.
He isn't.
No. So he's up.
Where is my picture of him?
When he's not there, he's up to something. He's busy.
So. Oh, that must mean he's going to have something in the mail.
He's getting sure.
Better watch it. He might have something in the mail. Where's our picture from him?
I don't have it out right now. Yeah. Oh. This our setup is not complete, as you can see with the uncle image there on the live stream. There's some.
Yeah, I noticed. I've noticed that graphics, so. Right away. I've noticed my stuff ain't set up right.
When it comes
to my hour, I expect to see it set up.
I know. Mm-hmm. We're pretty good. It could be better, but yeah, I know.
That was my complaint. But that's it.
Got it. Jimmy is still there.
You there, Jimmy? I think he
might not be.
He might be moved to coop.
There.
He might have flew to coop.
Let's assume he's not there. Count, are you there?
Count, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Count, would you like to give a shout out tonight before we end the show? Because we're end the show pretty soon here.
I'll give a shout out to everyone at YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe. Hit that like button. Smash that bell. We can celebrate the end of creativity. There's a new AI generator I found called Dezgo.com, Dezgo.com. Just kill art. Play around with it.
Great suggestions, Count Popper. Great shout-outs. Thank you.
Great job.
You can say yours.
Thanks for calling in, man. Call in anytime. It's always great to talk to you.
Yeah.
All right.
Take care, man. You go.
All right. Now, you want me to give a shout out too, Uncle?
Well,
I can give.
There's only three of us now on the line, plus Chuck.
Yeah.
I mean, well, we don't have Jimmy yeah. boy.
Jimmy's gone, Robin's gone, so it's just the three of us, yes.
That's what I
said. Just us to give shout-outs. I'm trying. Who deserves a shout-out? Oh, I know a good Lander shout-out for you here. Shout-out to Alien Expressions in Landers. It might actually be Flamingo Heights. I don't know. It's out on the 247 Highway, Old Woman Springs. But it's a great place where you can rent out a mailbox. You can buy alien-themed jewelry, and you can rent a U-Haul. It's right between a $5 pizza place and a gas station carryout. You might want to check it out sometime next time you're out that way.
Wait a minute. A $5 pizza place, Aaron, explain. Are we talking $5 a slice, or are we talking $5 for a pizza?
I think when they opened up, it was like you could get an entire small pizza for $5. I don't know if it's still at that price point, but the prices are quite good.
Okay.
I will say.
Oh, okay. Well, I know which one you're talking about. The last time I was up there.
You've had that pizza too.
Yeah, right? Yeah. I know what you're saying.
So we're giving a shout out to them too. $5 right, cool. pizza place and their neighbor, Alien Expressions. I can't remember the guy there at Alien Expressions.
Hey, you know what?
I can't remember his name.
I got a quick weird shout out because this has not been heard on the show in a while. Shout out to the street team. I am totally out of Uncle the podcast, business cards. I ran out. I gave out my last one, 2 days ago when I sent somebody a bumper sticker. I sent them my last Uncle the podcast business card.
Well, you know what to do, Sidekick.
I'll have to send,
them over to him. Send them.
And if anybody else wants some, let me know. I can mail you some of those. I'll probably send you a couple of Uncle stickers to go along with them.
Cause post COVID, the street cream must rise again.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Time to get back out there, everybody.
I am gonna shout out to the street cream. The street cream. Now, not the street team. That's what you were saying there, Chuck.
Right.
I said the street cream. Shout out to you. Cause I've got a new situation for the street team. We're gonna make it two names on, might even make a new thing to ask who gets these coins. I wanna change it up a little.
Anybody can have a card. Anybody can get a card.
Well, you can change
anybody
it up to strip a street, whip queen. And
that's
street.
What the card name should say on it?
Cause we've all been saying whip queen and in street team and we didn't know what we're talking about.
The next card will say that.
That one, that next card. I'm just saying. The next card.
It could
out to you
perhaps
guys.
It could say you've just been creamed by Uncle the Street Cream.
Yeah.
Now listen to the show. Thank you.
Bye.
And they'll give, they'll say, here's our website, here's our social media. It's just crazy enough to work. All right. I like that, Uncle. So we have Instagram and Twitter. We're at Uncle Podcast. You want to subscribe to those if you haven't already. And again, we have the YouTube, Twitch, and also the Twitter does the live stream videos on Friday. We're live with the radio show on Ocelli.com. The Ocelli Radio Network hosts us here, so we're happy to be here. And yeah, check out the video channels because sometimes we do some other live stream events as well. So it's exciting. Good times. This is, of course, the website's UnclePodcast.com. I guess that about does it for this week. Uncle, why don't you bring us home now?
There's our show, 272. Bye-bye. Oh, how many we get on out of town?
Every time I put it on my face, I'm able to breathe just a little bit deeper.
What are people saying about MyTrueEssence.net?
I'm going to tell you something serious, man. I just want to tell your listeners. I bought some of that Modifilin from Christy, and she made me up some of this emu oil mixed with some other stuff. I don't know what's in it, but I like the way it smelled. And I started putting it on, rubbing it on my foot, rubbing it on my knee, and like the second day, I just noticed it. I'm walking around. I'm like, damn, my knee is loose.
I can tell you that oil you gave me helped me with my
carpal and my shoulder problem. And if it wasn't, I wouldn't be working.
My ankles sort of really be pesky and bother me. And I'm telling you, the pain just went away. Essential oils rule!
And when I put that on, it's like my skin came alive.
MyTrueEssence.net.